Happy summer, everyone. It is June 21st, the first official day of summer. I cannot think of a better day in which to put out a podcast recapping the top 10 moments from this outdoor season. What a great way to launch into our summer. What a great way to remember the season that was and to begin to look forward to everything that we have coming up this year. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the top 10 moments from the season, tease a little bit of what we got going on for the fall and next spring. Let's do it again. Let's track the Trojans. So let's be real. I really wanted to get this done probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe even really the week after we wrapped up conference. But that being said, I decided to put some of this in the hands of the athletes and, you know, most of you guys listening to this and sent out a message saying, hey, what were the top 10 moments from the year? Really only got responses from about 4 people. And I will say there was consistency in a lot of the moments those 4 people shared with me. So that was good. But beyond that, it's just kind of up to me. So of course, you know, I really want to avoid the, oh, these are coaches' top 10 moments. But I think for the most part, everybody will agree that they remember a lot of this happening and they can relate to it. It was good. And I think everybody will kind of smile as they think back to what those times were like and hopefully look forward to making many more memories and doing many more great things this coming fall and spring. So before we get to this, this will be the top 10 moments from outdoor only. I know there were some people that shot me some moments from indoor, and we truly had some great moments at indoor. The indoor 4x4 at conference where everybody ran lights out, and the weirdest things I've ever seen happen over the course of an hour and a half at a track meet happened, and that led us to being really ranked higher up in the 4x4 than we thought we would be. All kinds of great things. Obviously, New York is a great time. Dylan won all the charcuterie boards for everyone. Great things from indoor, but we're focusing on outdoor here, and I'm hoping that if we get this rolling more consistently next year, that we'll do a top 10 from cross, a top 10 from indoor, top 10 from outdoor, and then ultimately a top 10 from all Trevecca cross country and track next summer. But, you know, we're growing, we're keeping this loose, we're keeping it fluid, and hopefully everybody's still enjoying that format. Once again, this podcast is for you athletes, it's for you parents, it's for anyone that's given to the program, it is for anybody that loves Trevecca and loves Trevecca Athletics. So here we go, it's going to be a fun one, top 10 moments from this season. Now, I will give an honorable mention to something that did not make the top 10, and frankly, it's because it had nothing to do with athletic performance, and really only the people in my van on the way back from Birmingham got to experience. But it was requested that I at least mention the fact that Drew Randolph had never tried a Vienna sausage until we bought some for him at a gas station, and let him have a go, and contact Cam Warner if you'd like the video. It was a good time. Good, clean fun was had by all. Drew, put some mustard on it next time. That's all I got to say. All right, so let's jump in. Outside of this first moment, the number 10 moment, everything refers to athletic performance. We had lots of funny moments throughout the season, lots of good moments, but I tried to keep it to athletic performance only. But coming in at number 10 is our one non-athletic moment, and it comes from Myrtle Beach. It was the last night, our last day there. We were done competing. We had literally spent the entire day suffering in the cold and the rain and the wind. It's the exact opposite reason you go to Myrtle Beach for a meet. You expect warmth and sun, and it just could not have been any worse. In fact, I have a radar shot, and I mentioned it in the podcast from Myrtle Beach, of just this patch of rain only on Myrtle Beach. But that night, coming in at number 10, pretty much, I'd say, half to three-quarters of the team sprinted into the freezing cold ocean and then sprinted back into the warmed pools indoor. And I got to tell you, it was a great time. It was something we joked about at dinner. And I think even I brought it up. I said, hey, you know, we should all sprint out into the ocean, jump in, fully submerge, and sprint back. And we did. It was fantastic. I was there. Brooke was there. Brandon Bejarano, I'm sure, would have been there, except his hamstring had exploded the day before and was still laying there somewhere on the beach. But the two coaches that were physically able and a good portion of the team decided to make what I thought afterwards was a pretty bad decision and sprinted out to the ocean in our swimsuits, dove in and came out. It was a blast. I think the hardest part everybody would agree was running across the actual beach because it was low tide and therefore we had forever to go, not what we anticipated. So the sand was cold on our feet and it was shifty. I think even Brooke might have hurt her Achilles for about a week or so from having run on that sand. It was windy. You get in the water, you run back across, and that wind is blowing on you nice and cold. It was fun. It was painful. It was all those things that you want it to be. My personal favorite memory was Shane was running about 5 meters ahead of me. And as we approached the water, he just kind of veered to the right and never really got in, maybe like ankle deep. It was my funniest moment of that entire experience. But it was a good time. I think all of us will look back at that for a long time. And there you go. There's your one non-athletic, non-performance or meet generated top 10 moment. But I think everybody would agree that was something that those of us that were out there, and there were a good bit of us, had a good time doing. Coming in at number 9, we have Sammy Roberts and her 5K at the Lee Flames Invitational. Now, the previous year, Sammy had set her PR there and had come back hunting for that PR again. And I think Sammy would be the first to tell you that a lot of times, chasing those PRs, chasing those fast times, it can become almost a burden. And so to watch her at this high level meet get out there and fight through even a tough spot in the race, and in a series of races that weren't going as fast as she would like them to get that PR, though it was small, it was a small PR to run 18:49.52 for the second time, to be below 18:50, was a big deal and I think was really important for her. I think it's great moving forward. I know she would like to have run faster at some of her other races throughout the year, but for me, it was impactful because I know she really had to fight through a lot of things to get that time again. And one of the big things to remember for anyone that isn't familiar with Sammy's story is she came out of high school having never broken 20. Now she's pretty much running all her 5Ks at 19:30 and faster, and has developed some consistency. And it's when you develop that kind of consistency and you kind of might hit a plateau that eventually the huge breakthrough, the next breakthrough, is just around the corner. And so I'm excited. Her having run this time at Lee this past spring really, I think, sets her up well for a great fall. And I know Brooke is going to give her a great summer worth of training and is really going to get her rounded into shape throughout the fall to have a good cross-country season. So I throw that in there, even though it was a small PR, I think it was a great moment. I know a lot of us, all of us that went to Lee this year, were really pulling for her. It was great to see everyone out on the infield cheering for Sammy and really pulling for her. And so it was great to see her run that time and do as well as she did. So that was our number 9 moment, Sammy Roberts 5K at the Lee Flames Invitational. Coming in at number 8, I put the men's 4x4 at the outdoor conference meet. Now, our men's 4x4 had an epic year, to be fair. It's pretty much, I think we paid for all the things that happened with the 4x1, bad karma wise, with really good karma on the 4x4. The 4x4 at conference, you got to think about with a team our size. People are tired. Lucas, who was part of it, was coming off a decathlon, plus trying to get himself into the 400 meter finals. I mean, what an effort. Pablo had run times out of his mind in both the 100 and the 200 on the previous day, had gotten himself into the 100 meter finals, had just missed the 200 meter finals, and now we're asking him to come back and run this 400, which really isn't an event that he was planning on doing when he came on the team. And then you also bring in Hamza, who had run a 1500 and 800 prelim the day before. Everybody's tired, and that's not just us. That's other teams as well. You're trying to throw everybody into it to run the pa fastest possible 4x4, even if the meet hasn't come down to it. It's an exciting race. It's the last thing of the day. Everybody's out there. Nobody's chilling at the hotel waiting for their event. Everybody's there because you're probably driving home immediately after the meet. So the atmosphere is huge, and our guys ran so well in their heat. We had really hoped to possibly have a 4x4 that could have squeaked into the fast heat. That didn't bother our guys. It didn't bother them at all. They ended up placing well. placing sixth, I believe, running 3:26.24, which was a huge outdoor PR. We didn't really talk about it much. Our indoor PR was great, but our outdoor PR, or outdoor school record, we broke by 6 seconds. It was a big deal, and it was to compete in our conference and to score at the 4x4 is huge, especially as we're a growing program that hasn't really been strong on the men's side in the 4x4. It was truly an exciting moment. Everybody did their part. Everybody competed well. I know we put a lot of thought into the order and who was running it. You know, we were afraid we were going to have to lean on some guys that were probably going to be too tired to do it, such as Jordan Halliday. And we pulled him from it, both because we thought that he was probably spent, as well as the fact that his hamstring was probably, we found out, was giving him some problems. So we set up a race that would compete well. When Lucas would get out, Lucas is a fierce competitor. He wasn't going to let the race get away from him if people were quicker. We knew Andre wouldn't really lose any ground. He would run hard. We knew Pablo additionally is a fierce competitor and could run a good 400. And Hamza can run a really sick 400. And putting it together that way, it paid off. It worked out. They ran great. And now they've set a new bar for the next 4x4 to try and break. So that was an incredible performance. That was our number 8. Number 7, for all kinds of reasons, Madeline Brown's disc performance at UAB. At the UAB Spring Invitational, which is really a fun meet, just in general. I really enjoy going down there for that one. But in that meet, Madeline PR'd with a throw of 28 meters and 51 centimeters, and it was just a good competition for her. It was great watching Madeline, who's a freshman, who'd had her ups and downs throughout the year, you know, exploring which events would be best for her, and really having, you know, to realize that things don't necessarily come right away when you become a college athlete, but to watch her to not only compete well in the prelims, but to make finals at this meet that had some pretty decent competition, and work up into the scoring there as well, if the meet had been scored, was fantastic. Now, the caveat to this, and if you listened to the podcast recapping UAB, you'll remember she made finals, but was nowhere near the throw circle. And the throw circle is probably, I'd say, 200 meters away from the main track. Really nice facility. But nobody could find Madeline. And we were all just yelling. We're running around. We're looking for her. We wanted to get her a chance to have her last three throws in finals. And all of a sudden, she comes sprinting out of the bathroom. We're like, you made finals. You got to go. And she sprints up basically straight into the circle. No warm-up. And throws. And just her attitude that afternoon was fantastic. It was great to see her have some of the breakthroughs that she was wanting to have. And I hope that that's a memory that she kind of stores away, the feelings from that, how that competition went, and how exciting it was for her. Number 6, same meet, the men's 1500 at the UAB Spring Invitational. Now, we knew this 1500 meter was going to be pretty exciting. We weren't going to run any of our guys or any of our women in the 5K. Because we were holding off for Lee, or some of them had just run it at Rhodes. We knew that the 1500 was going to be a good day for all our people. Brooke had her athletes running in the 15. I had my athletes that run the longer distance running in the 15. And we knew that Jordan, Cam, and Hamza, all being in the same heat, was going to be pretty explosive. And I think there was a lot going on that day. Obviously, this is a day after, you know, we found out about Eli Kramer. So it was a heavy day for Cam, for a lot of our athletes, just in general, in the running community. So as a coach, going into this meet, knowing kind of what Cam was wrestling with, but then also kind of knowing the nerves that all the guys had in racing against each other, was pretty exciting. And we knew that at minimum, we were going to see a lot of PRs come out of it. And we did. I mean, it was just three PRs from all three of the guys. Jordan ran 401, Cam went 402, Hamza went 404, and they went after each other, and they went after the race, and it was a good heat for it as well. There was a couple other guys that stuck their nose in it, and those three guys to get in there and to compete so hard and to get those PRs was pretty exciting. I know Jordan and Cam were pretty excited. I think Hamza licked his wounds a little bit, but I think it brought him back hungrier when it came time to race at Lee at his next meet. So, That was just a fun moment to watch some of our top end guys all be in the same race, all be in the same heat. Because even if their times are similar, the bigger the meet we go to, the higher the chances are they get separated out. So to have them all in the same heat, to watch them race like that, to watch, Cam overcome a pretty heavy day for himself and race that well was fantastic. And I really, really think that was a great moment for those guys as well as for the team. Coming in at number five, Molly Sims jab at the Rhodes seven-way meet. Now, I remember early on in that day, speaking with Molly's dad and saying, "Hey, you know what? I think she's got 35 meters in her today." And I believe her previous PR was about 33. Done a lot of work in the jab. I believe our new jabs had come in. I could be wrong on that recollection. But I knew she had a good throw in her. And I was over there with her for the first, for prelims, her first couple throws, and she was throwing well. And I remember I worked my way back across the field because we had other athletes competing in other events. And I turned around because I didn't want to miss Molly's throw because I could see it. I mean, it was still a good 200 meters away from where I was at. But there's just something about a good jab throw. When it leaves the hand, you know it's a great throw. I mean, we saw it happen with Lucas. Or not Lucas with Dylan in the jab at conference. I remember it was his first jab throw, and I couldn't even see him. I just almost saw the flight of the jab, and I knew it was a great throw. Same thing happened with Molly. I could see from where I was at that the jab had come off well. It had a great trajectory. It was flying, and sure enough, for 34.42 meters and a huge PR, school record, you name it, Molly had the jab throw of the season. And I think, gave her a ton of confidence moving throughout the rest of the year. She didn't quite get to that distance again, but I think in her mind she knows that 35 meter mark, which is next, and then 40 meters, all those are on the table at this point. And I think, for a lot of people that don't know, I think we're transitioning Molly more towards the throws at this point after we saw how strong she was in those events for the coming seasons, that I just really think that she is going to further set these jab records and further set the standards for what it is to be a female jab thrower for us here at Trevecca and continue to be competitive within the conference as she was this year. Number four at the Vanderbilt Invitational. This is supposed to be a low key meet. We're really only running a few people. It's meant to be a tune up. We wanted the 4x1 to have a good day. Everybody knows how the, I'll mention it now. We joked about it in the band about having a not top 10, and we'll just, you know what? The 4x1 can own that. And I think hopefully, I hope those guys can laugh about that. We had a tough year. I think that'll all be gotten out of the way. We'll be solid next year. We'll keep working forward and get that baton around the track a little more consistently. But that was what Vanderbilt was for, polishing off some of the field events and giving the sprinters one last chance to get that 4x1 in and throwing the people in a couple of events that wouldn't tire them out too much. One of those people was Lucas Baggett. And so coming in number four was Lucas Baggett's first sub 50 400 meter race. He'd been working so hard for this. He'd been so close at it for so long. And I remember watching him, and as he went down the home stretch heading to the finish line, it's like, oh my gosh, it's gonna be so close. And I couldn't see the clock when he passed the line, but what I could see was, I believe it was Sean, it was definitely Pablo, go sprinting up to him to give him a big hug and just screaming and yelling. And we ran over and we looked at the board and we saw that he had broken it. Well, that's a huge deal. That's a huge breakthrough for the 400 meter event to get under 50 seconds for a guy. And I know Lucas has worked hard at it for a long time. And for him to run that 49.91, for his teammates to have the reaction they did, it was a huge deal. It was great for him to do it at a Division I meet, at a Division I track. At home, his parents were there. I mean, we could just go down the list of all the reasons why this was a great, great experience. Coming in at number three, at conference, we have since the conference has moved to be as big as it is now, and now we have to have prelims in the 100 and the 200 and a lot of other events, we have never had a sprinter get out of prelims and make it to finals until Pablo Martin, not in the 200 like we expected, but in the 100. I mean, he was ranked like 14th, 15th in the 100 heading into this meet. Pablo drops a 10.9, first ever sub 11 in Trevecca history, works his way into finals, scores in finals, runs it run, in the finals. He ran a sub 11 there as well. It was huge. Everyone's reaction, it wasn't that he had run so well in his heat, which he had. Not only did he run well in that heat, he won the heat, which is what got him in. And so for him to run that 10.9, which really it was 10.89, which is what I think most of us saw on the board, was incredible. And the team's reaction was huge. A lot of excitement. We knew it was like, oh my gosh, we're going to score our first sprint point in forever in a conference that has teams like Tiffin and Finley and Hillsdale has been producing great sprinters, and Malone and their history of having great sprinters, and Walsh. Like, to be able to get a guy out of prelims into finals was massive. So we were really excited about that. Really bummed that he didn't make it in the 200. He finished ninth. Even more frustrating, there was an empty lane in that 200, but we've discussed that before. I'm not getting into that. Coming in at number three, that was Pablo going sub 11 and running a 10.9 to get himself into finals and score point for us in the sprints. Number two, now this was a consistent memory for a lot of people. Second weekend, third weekend of April, whenever it was, we split the team up. We had a bunch of us in Chattanooga, and we had a bunch of us in Louisville at Bellarmine's race. Some of us were at Lee's race in Chattanooga. And, you know, when you think about both those races, the Lee race is a high-performance meet. Everybody's focus was kind of on that, and if you went to Bellarmine, it's okay, we're just going to get work in and hopefully have a good race and have some good development. We had a great weekend at Lee. There were a lot of good things done. And, you know, everybody was pretty excited about how things went. There were a lot of PRs. We got the jobs done that we wanted to get done there. As we're leaving Lee, we hit the gas station, fill up, grab some snacks. And all of a sudden, somebody says, while we're standing there by the gas pumps, oh my gosh, Christian just ran a 16.19. And everybody kind of pauses. And we look around like, 16.19, like he ran all 12 and a half laps. Like he didn't run a lap short. Like 16.19, like this is a huge PR, like 42nd PR, 38 something second. Christian had only broken 17 once before, and by 4 or 5 seconds, early in the season. And then all of a sudden, somebody confirms, yeah, no, Christian went 16.19, and we blew up at that gas station. Everybody went nuts. I'm no idea how crazy it was at Bellarmine. I'm assuming everybody was congratulating him and super excited for him, but the rest of us went crazy. It had to look so ridiculous. I know I mentioned it when I talked about it in the previous podcast, where we talked about this moment for the first time, but Christian has worked so hard for so long, and there's a lot of people that don't know his story, and in that some of his performances over the past couple years is because he was also working like 30 and 40 hours a week waiting tables so that he could help pay for school and help his family. And for him to have some things free up this year that he had and to put his time into the training, and even he will admit his previous spring, he was totally out of shape. He suffered last year. 2021 track for Christian Garcia was miserable, and he'd be the first to tell you that because he came in so out of shape. So for him to put the work in and for it to culminate with such an incredible time in the 5K and goes on to later PR in the 10K just a few weeks later, it was, we could not be more excited for a guy that's a great teammate, a good guy, and just for him to have run that time at that meet, we were so excited for him, and I know that's huge for him, and we are stoked that he has more eligibility and he gets to come back this year, and now we get to take aim at 16 and improving that 10K time as well. So I couldn't think of a better number two moment. Some people, in fact, the person who has the number one moment said that Christian's moment should have been the number one moment. So it was just a phenomenal thing to have experienced. And we weren't even there. We didn't even watch the race happen. Most of us, I say we, myself, and all of us that were at Lee. So it was fantastic. All right, we've come to number one. Quick recap. Honorable mention, Drew Randolph eating Vienna sausages. Number 10, Myrtle Beach, jump in the ocean when it's freezing cold. Number 9, Sammy Roberts, PR in the 5K at Lee. Number 8, the men's 4x4 at conference. Number 7, Madeline Brown's disc performance at Birmingham. Number 6, the men's 1500 at Birmingham, the heat with Jordan, Cam, and Hamza in it. Number five, Molly's Jav school record and PR at Rhodes seven-way meet. Number four, Lucas's sub 50 at the Vanderbilt Invitational, that time of 49.91. Number two, Pablo's sub 11 100 meter prelim that got him into finals where he scored. And number two was Christian's 16.19 PR at Lee. And coming in at number one, and I really don't think that there's any debate on this. Personally, I don't think there's any debate on it being the performance of the season for any Trevecca athlete. As coming in at number one was GMAC steeplechase champion Cam Warner Steeple for a time of 9.19 and the first GMAC title we've had on the track, men's or women's side, in quite some time. And in fact, it became the only GMAC championship won by a Trevecca athlete this year. How this couldn't be number one on our list and a lot of other lists, I don't know. I might have to fight you over that one. But going into this race, there was so much. Cam had finished third the year before, and he doubted how he'd raced that year before. And we talked about it all summer and all fall. I was like, coach, I think I could have done something differently. I could have gone out faster. I could have pushed the pace. There's just different things I could have done. And remember, he PR'd in that race, and he got on the podium. There was a lot of good in that race last year when he finished third. We talked about that. Cam had that in the back of his mind. He additionally had this spring, we mentioned earlier, having, you know, Eli Kramer was a good friend of his, and he had lost him. And so there was just a lot that Cam had been working through that spring and doing an amazing job of it, staying mentally tough. Going into this race, we knew it was going to be a challenge. We knew that in Nathan Undenerick, I think, probably, I'm just going to say Nathan from here on out, we knew that he would be tough, but we also knew that he'd have a 1500 meter prelim early in the day and Cam was going to come in fresh. We knew that Walsh always produced great steeplechasers. We knew that Hillsdale had some guys coming out that were going to challenge for things. And so we just knew that this had to be a smart race. The fitness was there. Cam had the fitness to compete with these guys. No doubt. The workouts had been there. The performances at races had been there. We knew this was going to be good stuff. We just had to be smart about how the race went. And so we knew from the start, it's like, hey, let's go out and feel it out. But if we get to about 1,200 meters left and Nathan's close or anyone else is close, Cam, you've got to make it start going. And so that was our plan going in. And I remember in the first 150 meters, the race goes out and Cam's just kind of looking around like, what is everybody doing? It was slow. He's looking around like, what are y'all doing? Why isn't anybody racing? Well, the odds are is they were all looking at him. They were all queuing on Cam, who they knew would compete hard for this. Most of them probably knew that he was the freshest of the group. And so for about 4.5 laps, 5 laps, and it was him. Nathan was a little ways back. I mean, he wasn't far back. And there was a couple of guys from Hillsdale. And I started thinking, when Cam was about 200 meters away from me, I started thinking, man, I'm going to have to tell Cam that, hey, 1,200 meters to go. This is a pack. We got to start moving. But lo and behold, two guys from Hillsdale swing around Cam and apply the pressure. And I mean, the timing could not have been better, and they could not have, unbeknownst to them, played any more into our hands. So Cam just went with it. He rode with him. And that began to break Nathan a little bit. There was a bit of a gap that had developed with Nathan. And I wasn't sure how these two guys would finish from Hillsdale, but I knew that Cam didn't need to go around them yet. I knew that one of the things we work on very specifically in January and February is our ability to finish, our ability to accelerate on tired legs. We do these Joe V. Hill accelerations, and they're part of a two-a-day. You get miles or tempo in the morning, and then you have to bang this workout out in the afternoon. I knew that Cam was going to be set to finish well, but I also knew that if Nathan was anywhere close, it was going to be a fight. But the further the race, the closer the race got to finishing, watching these two Hillsdale guys, I was like, oh my gosh, they're taking it all the way to the end. I hope we can do this. And with 150 meters to go, going over the water barrier, who Cam clears like a hurdle. He clears it like a hurdle, doesn't put a foot on it. It works for him. He's smooth over it. We're not changing that. But every time he did that, and I was telling this, like, you were gaining 5 meters on everybody. You're coming out quicker, coming out faster, and you're getting over the barrier faster, over the water faster. And so as he goes over that barrier with the Hillsdale guys, he gets a little ground, gets a step, and starts to go. But not far behind him is Nathan. Nathan clears it really quick, and next thing you know, Nathan is right on Cam's heels. And one barrier to go, Cam clears it. Cam just starts gunning it. You can tell, and I'm yelling at him, "You've done this. Think about accelerations. You've got this." You got it. It's the last race of the night of the second day. Everybody's out there. Everybody's yelling. Everybody. Tiffin's a huge team. So it's like 100 people out there just yelling for Nathan from Tiffin to do well. And you've got all of our people out there yelling. And they're coming down the home stretch. And it's under the lights. And Cam got the win. Now, even Cam would tell you, if the race had been 20 meters longer, Nathan would have had him. And that might be true. Nathan was coming on strong. But Cam had it in him to hold him off. Wins the steeple, in tears, big hugs, whole team comes around him, is jumping up and down. It is literally one of my personal favorite moments in all of coaching for so many reasons, all the work that Cam's put in. For seeing our team be invested, the throwers, the jumpers, the sprinters, men's team, women's team, everybody gathering up around him and celebrating what Cam had done. How this can't be the best moment of the year across the board, it'd be crazy to think of anything otherwise. Such an exciting moment. So great to put another Trevecca athlete on the top of that podium, and so great for a Trevecca athlete to bring home a GMAC championship for this year. It was incredible. Super exciting. For the people that, besides Cam, who did submit some moments from this year, for the people that did submit moments, Cam was pretty much up there at the top for those few people, and so I think that's a general consensus for everybody. And even if he hadn't been, he won a GMAC championship. That's kind of got to go number one. I hope you guys agree or at least enjoyed listening to these top 10 moments. I know I had a good time reminiscing. I did not expect to be talking for 30 minutes. That's how exciting I think this is, and I think I'm jonesing for us to start competing again. So excited to bring these top 10 moments to you. As we move forward throughout the rest of the summer, I believe over the next couple weeks, I'm going to shoot out some messages and try to connect with some of our athletes that are out doing their summer thing and just try to connect and chat. As we move into August, we are going to do a roster preview. We're going to do a cross-country schedule preview. We're going to do all the things that we did the first season we did this. But the reason why I'm going to have more time to do these kinds of things is the fact that we basically got a staff at this point, not just like a GA or maybe one assistant or some volunteer. We have a staff. Brooke Koblitz is coming on full-time as an assistant, our first full-time assistant coach in program history. Super excited for that. If you're not familiar, she was basically a glorified grad assistant, at least on the pay scale-wise, over the past 6 months, and poured her heart out into this team, and we saw those great results. And so we're excited that she is going to be compensated now. We've been able to build the program to where it needs to be for her to get that. We additionally were granted an NCAA opportunity to add another position to our staff that is actually funded mostly by the NCAA. So we are in the process of those interviews, and folks, I'm not kidding. The level of applicants we've gotten for this is incredible. We've got Division I national championship participants. We've got people that are NSCA strength and conditioning certified. We're excited about what we are going to be able to bring in and add to this program. We additionally still have Brandon Bejarano, the coach-athlete combination guy that is going to be working with us this year. Dylan Brandon, if this is the first time you're hearing this, we've talked about it, but I'm hoping Dylan works with our throwers and gets a chance to enjoy that and be a part of the program before he knocks out his somehow last season of eligibility at outdoor this year. So many exciting things going on. Our cross country teams are looking really strong. Summer training looks like it's going amazing for everybody. Folks, there is momentum building. If you're a freshman and you've just signed in with us and you're coming on the team and you're excited for the fall, get more excited. When you are nervous and worried about, hey, I don't think I've got the energy to go and get my lift in today, to get my run in today, whatever it might be, as you go through the long summer of grinding this out on your own, come back and listen to this podcast. Get in contact with your teammates. Ask them about these moments. These are the things that will keep you motivated. These are the things that will keep pushing you till you get back on campus and you'll have your support system around you to be pushing you forward to pursue greatness and pursue getting better. Like, hang on those moments, because we've got some incredible things going. We've already got visits for next year's recruiting class just everywhere. We got people coming this summer, people coming this fall. We have our lists going. Guys, we're going to be bigger than we've ever been before. 50 plus athletes. Next year, it's going to be even bigger. We're going to need like 2 charter buses to travel. I hope the school and its budget is ready for that. Folks, it is a great time to be a Trevecca track and field and cross-country athlete. We're so excited at where things are going, and I think it's going to be even tougher to pick top 10 moments next year. Hope everybody's having a great summer. I hope you've enjoyed this. Maybe it's gotten you through a long run. Maybe it's gotten you for 34 minutes and 22 seconds down the road to the beach or wherever you might be doing this weekend or this week. Thank you for tracking the Trojans with us. We're officially closing the books on 2022. Now we're moving forward to 2022 and 2023. Talk to you all soon.